Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And today we are talking about a lot of revelations, actually.
So many revelations.
Yeah. I have a reveal of a Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a sudden reveal to a sleepy and shocked Gurney at the end.
That's right. Yeah, man, let's just dive into it because I got a lot of notes on this one.
Yeah, so last minute ended with Leto reaching for the dying, twitching body of someone in the chamber that he was in. He's there at the body this time, turns the body over, and who is it but shout out Mapes.
Shout out, shout out.
Stabbed in the chest.
Shout out, shout out. Man, we hardly knew her.
Yep.
Yeah, and she just got murked, man. Yeah, just straight, absolutely stabbed.
Straight stabbed in the chest.
Yeah.
She tries to mutter something to Leto, but it's incomprehensible. She reaches for his shoulder, only to just leave his nice, clean, you know, linen shirt with a bloody handprint on the shoulder.
Yep. And we do get the nice little visual of the hand going through the shield.
Yep.
With the slow hand, you're penetrating the shield. I know he, like, Leto turned on his shield a little bit ago. Great. Good. Glad he did it.
About 10 seconds ago.
Yeah. And I feel like this, the hand coming up and going through the shield was kind of just a reminder to the audience, like, hey, this is how shields work. Just remember.
Just remember. Yep.
It's going to be important in about 4 seconds.
Yep. Because she dies in his arms, and then what do we have but another suppressed shot?
Yep.
And then we suddenly cut to a dart rapidly approaching Leto's back. And here's where I have a question.
Okay.
Because Leto is hunched over the body with his back towards the would-be assassin or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
He then stands up and turns around, but the dart is maintaining its momentum through the shield.
Is that a question?
Is it just like stuck in the shield at that point?
You know, I don't know. I would have to imagine that the dart itself is, I called it a projectile in my notes.
It definitely looks like a dart though. Because
yeah,
it's
sure.
Got that pointy end and the,
it may have some capabilities because we know that things that are very small can have flight capabilities. We saw the Hunter Seeker.
Yep.
That has its own propulsion methods.
Yeah.
My best guess at like a theory here is that the projectile also has the same kind of propulsion
that a Hunter Seeker would. Yeah.
Yep. So it is, once it's there and it's like stopped, it has the propulsion to keep going forward just slow enough to get through a shield.
Okay.
Now how that happens, I don't know, but that's what I would have to say is happening.
You mean you're not a PhD scientist in any of this?
No, nor is anyone. It's made up.
Oh, well, you know, maybe you should understand the physics of this world a little better.
They got a 30,000 or so year head start on me.
But yes, the dart continues through the shield until it eventually penetrates and paralyzes Leto, just as it did the
first. It's right at that spot in the back where you can't reach.
Yeah, it's between
the
shoulder blades or whatever, and it's like, God damn it.
It's the hardest part to reach, and he's trying to get back there, can't do it. They do make a point in the books to note that wearing a shield decreases your mobility.
Hmm.
So it's not just like you have full range of motion when you're wearing the shield. So that is only, you know, making this matter worse. If that same rule
then
applies.
Maybe the Lynch movie had it right with the
big
Minecraft
blocks.
Men blocks.
Maybe so. Maybe they did. Are we turning back to the Lynch movie? Is that
reject modernity, modernity, embrace tradition?
I guess so. yeah, so it gets him, man.
Yep.
And he kind of falls over, and
we see another shot of Shoutout.
Yep.
She's just kind of dead with her head laid back, and we see her eyes and everything, and then who's the killer but Dr. Yue?
Oh, Yue.
Dr. Lewis in the news.
Yep.
It's hip to be paralyzed.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Okay. Let's talk about this for a second. So
yes,
first time, if this was your first time seeing the movie and you had no backstory, or, you know, you never read the books or anything like that,
this would be a shock.
This would be a pretty big shock. Yeah. We have not gotten any kind of inclination that UA was, turning on the Atreides.
I guess other than the scene where he just straight up ignores Paul, we don't have any
animosity
or anything.
That's the only time that he's ever acting strange.
Yeah.
So yeah, this would have been a pretty big revelation to the first time audience there. So I want to talk a little bit about UA's betrayal.
By all means.
And I've wanted to say this stuff from the moment we were introduced to UA way, way back at when.
Yep.
But I've saved it for this particular minute. So yes, UA has seemingly betrayed the Atreides.
Yep.
Now, if y'all remember from when we were first introduced to UA, we talked a lot about the Souk School of Medicine.
Yes.
And
they're like,
just the conditioning, specifically the conditioning that they cannot do any kind of harm to the families that they work for.
How it's like physically impossible for them to do that. It's like Hippocratic Oath on crack.
Yeah. Yeah. So clearly we see now that that is not the case. Mm-hmm. But we don't really understand why. And I think we get a very quick explanation of it later on in the movie.
Yep.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, just the things that led up to UA doing this right now.
Sure.
So I believe we've maybe mentioned it in passing, but, Dr. UA has a wife. Her name is Wanna, W-A-N-N-A.
Wanna UA? Wanna cry? Shout out Spider-Man 3.
So Wanna, UA's wife, was captured and taken hostage by the Harkonnens.
Yep.
Some number of years ago. She's, UA suspects that she's dead. There's a little part of him that hopes she's still alive. But in the books, it says like that part of him is like, that would be the worst fate if she was still alive. That means that she's just been tortured for these number of years.
Doesn't he say, this might be going into next week's minutes and stuff too, that like they've been sending him pieces of her?
Maybe he says that in the movie. I don't get that from the books.
It's very like mob boss shit where it's like, I'm going to cut off a finger and send you a finger in a box in the mail or whatever.
A leading theory from the movie is that she's dead.
The spider.
And she's, yeah, if not all of it, parts of that spider creature that we saw.
Yeah.
Which is gross. So.
Well, we haven't seen the spider yet.
Yeah, we did.
The spider. Oh, yeah, we did. Sorry. I was. Never mind.
Okay. The Baron, through various forms of manipulation on Dr. UA, has broken through that Souk school conditioning. And believes that UA is now the piece that he can use to betray the Atreides from the inside.
Do you think he was able to do that because of like Piter's corruption
and everything? And, you know, UA's, you know, love for his wife and just using all that.
But like specifically Piter's corruption by like his own fucked up methods of being a mentat and everything.
I'm sure it had something to do with it. Yeah. Now what it's interesting, and I'm getting ahead of myself here, but, I don't believe that's 100% true. I don't believe that the Baron broke UA in the way that he thought he did. Mm-hmm. I believe that he broke the part of UA that said he could not kill or harm someone, but not his loyalty to the Atreides. Despite what we've just seen, there is still some loyalty, and we'll talk about a lot more next week when we get to hear from UA. But there is still some loyalty there, And the only part that he has broken is the I cannot harm someone part.
Sure.
So not as effective as the Baron thinks it is, but it's still something.
It's enough.
Yeah, it's not nothing either, because that Sook school conditioning is supposed to be ironclad, can't break through that stuff. And it's just like, it's supposed to be, you know, something that is impenetrable.
Sure.
Clearly it's not.
But for a movie's perspective, they have to show that he's an impressionable enough person that has his own reasons for doing what he does and yada, yada, yada.
Yep. It's character development.
Yep. But at this point, we don't see any of that in this minute. We only see Yue's face, and then we're just hard cutting into the barracks.
Yep.
As a man rushes to Gurney Halleck's bunk and just says, "Sir, sir, the shield's come down." And then Gurney jumps out of his bunk.
The captions say lieutenant, attributes those "sir, sir, the shields have come down" to lieutenant, just, you know, in quotes, lieutenant.
Yeah.
Is it Landville?
No.
You don't think?
Different voice.
Oh, is it a different voice?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, surely they would have said Landville had it been Landville.
I have something to say here, just as a quick aside. Gurney Halleck could very well have just like had his own whole ass like suite and everything in the castle. But you know, it definitely seems that like he chooses to bunk with those men, which I think helps with the love that they have for him.
Yeah, he's a
and the
man
respect
of the people.
Yeah, and the respect that, you know, the rest of the soldiers have for Gurney Halleck and everything.
Yep.
Cause he absolutely could have just been like, nah. I'm going to go have this nice big ass bed and everything.
Yeah. That's very true. I didn't even think about that. That's incredibly true though.
And then our minute ends with just alarms blaring and a bunch of Atreides men rushing outside.
Oh yeah. And the very last thing is Gurney looking up just with a look of just shock on his face. Mm-hmm. And that's ends right there. So some book comparisons.
Yep.
So this is pretty much beat for beat how we see, or at least the stuff with Leto is.
Yeah.
We don't get the stuff with Gurney in the books, but,
I think the way that they introduce the invasion though, with Gurney in the books is, with Gurney in the movie is probably the best way to do it.
Like, oh, sure.
It's that moment of panic.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There are other moments with Gurney and the fight and everything that we do get in the books, but not this like specific thing.
Yeah.
The only differences that I saw when I read through the passage of Leto coming across the body of Shout Out Mapes is that he actually comes across at least two bodies in the books.
Huh.
The first one is the smuggler Tuek, T-U-E-K.
Okay.
Which is the person who gave him that note that I mentioned yesterday,
the smoke versus fire.
Yeah. Yeah. So we comes across his body, and then he hears the same way he did in the movie. He hears Shout Out over, you know, in the corner or whatever. And he goes over to her. And she talks to him for a second, you know, as she passes away, and Leto does not get his shield up in time in the books.
Got it.
So he hears a commotion going on behind him, turns around, and right as he is about to turn on his shield, that's when the shot is fired. So a little bit of a difference there. I'm glad they included the shield part in the movie, because we get to see more of that, those physics in action later on and during the battle scene.
Yep.
It's a good reminder for us that slow things move through shields.
Slow blade penetrates the shield.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a good visual reminder, just small differences between that passage in the book and what we see in the movie.
Yeah, because it's been almost an hour, I think, since we've seen shields like in any kind of combat. Because
they've been since they came to Arrakis.
Well, they only turned their shields on. They weren't attacked or anything.
Yeah, the fight scene would have been the last time we saw.
The training dojo scene was like minutes, I want to say 25 through 30 or something like that.
Yeah, some early minutes, yeah.
Yeah. So
That's true.
I don't know. We recorded those episodes so long ago.
that's right where we end. So I'm going to kick us on out of here and let's get on to tomorrow, because we got some fun stuff happening tomorrow.
And next week we'll have a lot more too to speak about, you know, Yue's betrayal and his motivations and reasons. As a little surprise, we're going to have a new guest next week as well. Our friend Calf, who is a huge fan of Dune. So he's got a lot to say about Yue as well.
Yep. So,
but we have one more episode this week.
We'll
see you for another Friday episode to close a week out on the Dune Minute podcast. If you want to reach out to us on Instagram, you can at the Dune Minute. On Twitter, we are at Dune Minute, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com. Look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow.
See you then.
I guess you'll hear from us tomorrow. You won't see us.
I see them. You don't see them?
Oh, no.
All right. Well, I should go to the doctor about that, I guess.
All right. It's that LASIK.
I can see them now. Yeah, that's right.
All right. We'll see you later.
See ya.